So one of the real privileges of being around the church in December is getting to see the kids, because they cannot wait for Christmas, right? Last week, Anthony Rizzo took the confirmation kids down to the busiest intersection he could find in Manhattan, right around Times Square. And maybe it's a combination of a week off school, you know, too many presents, too many sugar cookies. The kids are just about bouncing off the walls. Like, they cannot wait for Christmas to be here. Normally, the adults are a little more circumspect, right? Christmas gets here when it gets here. I'm not going to get too excited about it. It turns out there is a way to get adults to say Christmas can't get here soon enough. And it's not eggnog, it's not presents. It's putting the fourth Sunday of Advent on the same day as Christmas Eve. You do that, and the adults are saying, can we just get to Christmas already? And there are a whole bunch of churches that are, this is basically Christmas weekend, right? And even our sanctuary, just because time is so short, you kind of have to get set up for Christmas already. But if you jump over the fourth Sunday of Advent, you miss something important, which is you miss the story of Mary's Annunciation. Now, in the Lutheran Church, we have kind of a complicated relationship with Mary, right? Luther had kind of a nuanced view of Mary. He thought that the kind of cult of Mary or the devotions to Mary had gotten out of hand, so he wanted to kind of scale things back a little bit. So he'd say, you know, we don't pray to Mary, but we do pray with Mary. And if you look in the ELW, when we have the setting of evening prayer, it has Mary's Magnificat. So he thought every day you should have Mary's song of prayer going in your head. Now, that's a little bit complicated, and so a lot of Lutherans decided, instead of risking talking about Mary the wrong way, they would just not talk about her at all. And so Mary's become something of a four-letter word in many of our Lutheran churches, which is too bad. It's too bad because Mary is this really great example of what it means to live a grace-filled life. So the story from Luke that we heard today. If you want to understand this, you have to understand, if you rank the social hierarchy that Mary lived in, Mary is about at the very bottom of it, right? Mary is someone who does not have any influence, does not have a lot of power. She's someone who's seen as expendable by most of the powers that be. And when the angel Gabriel shows up, the first thing he says is, "Blessed are you." Now, obviously, that's not true, because everyone else would say that Mary is not blessed at all. And you have to wonder what kind of look Mary had on her face, because the first thing Gabriel says after that is, "No, no, no, don't be afraid. Everything's okay." Right? Even Mary can't seem to figure out what's going on here. And so Gabriel explains what's going to happen to her, how she's going to conceive a child, and this child is going to become the one that we call the Son of God. And Mary asks a very good question, which is, "How can this be? This doesn't make a lot of sense to me," right? And this is how most of us think. When God interrupts our lives with something, we think, this doesn't make a lot of sense with the way that I'm thinking about my life right now. And so Mary asks that question that we all ask, how can this be? And Gabriel replies with this answer about how the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And it's a good explanation, but it's not really clarifying, right? You would imagine that Mary still has some questions after this. But Mary still says, "Let it be with me according to your will." So how can this be, and let it be with me according to your will? So there's a big jump that happens in about two verses there, right? And so one of the ways the church has tried to clean this up is by doing one of two things with Mary. The first option is you say that Mary is just kind of a plot device here, right? Like, Mary is someone who's here to move the dialogue forward. Mary, when she asks how, she's not really doubting. She's just trying to set it up for Gabriel to explain what's going to happen, right? That's a view of Mary that says Mary is meek. Mary doesn't have any ideas. Mary is basically just a little pawn in this cosmic game that God's playing. And as soon as Jesus is born, she's off the stage. That's an idea about Mary that's really hard to square against what's in the Gospels. Because Mary sticks around in a very important role. She's arguably the first disciple of Jesus. She has to endure the flight to Egypt. She loses Jesus at one point. She is not crazy about Jesus's public ministry. She wants Jesus to just come home and kind of chill out for a while. And then eventually, obviously, she has the experience which no parent ever wants, which is that she holds her dead child. So the idea that Mary is some just kind of plot device here doesn't really make a lot of sense. The other option that we have is to say that this is a story about transformation. It's about how Mary said, "How can this be?" And then she was able to erase her doubts and said, "Let it be with me." And so Mary becomes this example of how you need to erase your doubts. Just do whatever you think God is calling you to do. There's no space here for you to be asking how or to have any kind of dialogue with God. And so in that version, Mary becomes something like a fourth person of the Trinity, because no one can actually live like that. So is there a way that we can have this story somewhere in between that's actually useful for us as people seeking out to live our faith? I think there is. If you look at those two questions or those two statements, how can this be and let it be with me? That this isn't a story of someone just kind of throwing words back at Gabriel or someone getting rid of their doubts. That those things can both be true at the same time. That there are often times when we don't understand what it is that God is doing in our lives and we still pray that we would let God's will manifest itself in our lives. So I gave you, I thought we'd do something a little different today, since you came out on the day before Christmas Eve. And I gave you, this is a painting that you could have picked up when you came in. It's a painting of the Annunciation. And it's one that I like because it kind of captures the Annunciation, especially today, or we're kind of right up against Christmas Eve. So in most depictions of the Annunciation, Gabriel and Mary are having this kind of back and forth, right? Like, we're getting the dialogue part of the story. And in this one, Gabriel looks like, you know when you come up behind someone and you know that you're going to startle them, but you kind of have to tap them on the shoulder, right? So that's how Gabriel looks in this. That this is right before everything is going to start to move. Even if you look at Joseph next door working in his wood shop, he has wood chips everywhere, right? So this is right at this moment where the world is about to kind of turn upside down. And it's at this moment that we pause. And we wonder what it is that God is about to do in Mary's life, in Joseph's life, and in our lives. So one of the interesting things, if you want to understand the Annunciation and what it means to be blessed, is you have to go to the next story in Luke. Because right after this happens, Mary is going to run off to her sister Elizabeth, and she's going to tell her about what happened. And Elizabeth says that Mary is blessed, but she explains why she's blessed. And she says she's blessed because you have faith in the works that God is doing in your life. You're not blessed because you're bearing the Son of God. You're not blessed because of some skill you have. You're not blessed above anyone else in the world. That the blessing that you have is the kind of blessing that we all have. Even if some days when we hear the word of God and we feel like all we can say is, how can this be? We still pray together that we would let it be with us according to God's will, bringing light and life to all of God's creation. Amen.